5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Omaha, Nebraska. I'll be there March 29th and 30th at the Funny Bone. Columbus, Ohio. I'm headed your way Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th. Toledo, Ohio. The Live and Alive tour is headed your way. I'll be there Friday, April 26th and Saturday, April 27th. Los Angeles. Sunday, May 12th, I'll be at the Bourbon Room for my show during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. Miami, Florida, I'm bringing the Live and Alive tour your way. I'll be at the Miami Improv Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th. Get your tickets now. All tickets are available at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I'm starting this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you. Whether you've been here or whether you're new here, thank you for supporting this show, this channel, all of it. Make sure you're subscribed. If you got to have more, I'm telling you, you got to have the Patreon. It's called the Honeydew with y'all. It is this show with y'all, and y'all have the craziest stories anyone's heard. It's worth every penny. It's the wildest show on Patreon. I keep it affordable as I can, and they're your stories. You got to hear these people's stories. It's worth a cup of coffee. I promise you that. And the new podcast has dropped. You guys, I appreciate the support. It's called The Way Back. It's a little nostalgia podcast sitting on that old station wagon backseat, the one that faced traffic. And I'm just talking to my favorite friends and your favorite podcasters about growing up and what that was like. All right. For all tour dates, go to RyanSickler.com. All right. That's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, the machine, Mark Kreischer.
Thank you.
Thank you for being back here. I know you're hungover, but.
I am hungover.
But you're
I got after it yesterday. I was with Jelly Roll.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Jelly Roll and Bunny. We did a really fucking amazing episode where I fucked pasta up. I haven't had carbs. I've been away from alcohol, sugar, and carbs, and I only allow myself like a night or two a week these days. And boy, last night was worth it. I went for it. I went for it, and I had a fucking blast.
I follow The Rock, and I'll see him do cheat meals. And then I'm like, I'm going to do that fucking cheat meal. I do those cheat meals every fucking day.
I can't do cheat meals.
My cheat
meals are on Something's Burning because I'm...
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah. Not what this episode should be about, but you are the right person for me to talk about this with. But I've said this, it's such a longer conversation, but I got really out of control. Like really out of control, like 275 pounds drinking.
Is that the highest you've been?
Yeah, fast
in your life.
In my life, yeah.
It is. Even college days and all that. It never
got that bad. But my body looks very different now than it did
great.
In college. Thank you.
You do look great.
But I had to quantify what my cravings were, what my impulses were, what my addictions were, and food is the addiction. Food is the addiction, and it is. And once I got control of food, everything kind of started falling into place.
Include drinking, even with food?
Way more. Drinking was like, dudes who are addicted to sex, and then like we have friends that are addicted to sex and that would go and pay for it and stuff. Drinking was the bank account. The addiction of sex was the thing. Food for me, the impulse, getting control of the impulse. Drinking is just like people go, I'm going to take sex and I'm out. I'm broke. Well, the drinking was just the money. And once I got control of the eating and figuring out my brain, drinking kind of fell to the side and was like, oh yeah, I don't really want it as much as I did, as much as I needed it then. And drinking kind of, once I figured out the plinko, what was fucking me up. And what was fucking me up is just not saying no to myself. And going to the fridge and opening it five times a day. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, because that's what happens when you diet. And once I got control of my diet, I started feeling a real joy that I've never had. And drinking, drinking was getting in the way of the joy. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted the joy. I wanted more joy. You know, we want to talk about empty nesters. And that's what we're talking about today. But I had real terror, fear of losing my girls in that house. Silence is deafening.
Yeah, dude. Let me tell you, I'm with you on the food thing. I eat when I'm happy. If I'm like, let's celebrate, let's go eat. I'm sad. I'm like, let's just fucking eat.
If I'm hungover.
I'm hungover. I'm bored. I'm going to go get what do you want to do? Just go get this food right over
there.
But also, I grew up with not much. And one of my problems is I like to go to bed on a full stomach. I like to know that I'm not homeless tonight. I'm not starving tonight. I'm going to bed like late night eat, which in this comedy world is often too.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed with a full stomach. And at least tomorrow, I'm not going to starve until lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got to get through the next day. That's how. And I'm still in the mentality of 22-year-old Ryan when it comes to finances and things. And I'm not that anymore. And I have to learn that. I've started taking my health very seriously, too. I saw that whole 10X thing on Rogan. They have one here in L.A. So I went and did the blood. I went and did the genetics. I'm waiting on all my results because I now know I have these blood diseases and everything in my body. So I know that just a regular multivitamin at CVS doesn't necessarily work for us. So I'm trying to figure out this computer so I can get at least another 40 or 50 on this goddamn thing.
Dude, that's all I want.
You know?
I don't think I was looking at the future. I was looking at the present and then when I was looking at the future, it was with anxiety.
What made you say, because your words were, I got out of control. What made you say that about you?
When did
it hit you?
The girls.
What part? Did they say something to you?
Yeah. Yeah. We had a really rough the Fully Loaded was wild. It was awesome. But some stuff happened in that with, you know, death threats and whatnot.
Really?
That were really serious.
What the fuck are you getting death threats for? Who's death threatening comedians?
People that are just...
Over what?
Nothing. Is nothing. It's mental
just
illness.
Just mental illness.
Yeah, it's mental illness. But it's real. And I was dealing with that, and I was not dealing with it well. And then when we got off the road, I just... Georgia and Isla mostly, but Georgia too, were like, yo, you're really overweight. Like I'm worried about you. And the idea that the girls would worry about me just fucked me up. That they would maybe lose sleep thinking about their dad really bothered me. And so I just said, I started with 5 days. I'm going to do no booze, get clean and healthy in 5 days. And then I said, I'll do a month. And then, because I could always do a month. And at the end of the month, the girls were saying things to me. Isla said something to me in a drive-thru at Starbucks. She goes, you're really present. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, if you were drinking right now, she goes, it's not a big thing.
How old's Isla?
17.
Can I ask you a quick, quick pause? When you were 17, did you ever say anything to your parents? Like,
I didn't
you're
talk
really
to my dad.
Right
I didn't
now.
Talk to my dad.
I didn't have those thoughts at all, though. I didn't have anyone to talk to at that point. But even if I did, I wouldn't be saying, hey, you're really present right now. You're doing great parenting over there, man. I'm like, what? I don't say shit like that now. Like, hey, you're really present.
She said, if you drank last night, you'd be like this. And I said, as opposed to? And she goes, as opposed to us talking. And I went, fuck. And so I just started quantifying my presence and my happiness. And then all of a sudden, 1 month turned into very easily 2 months. And in the middle of 2 months, I started really quantifying just how happy I felt. And little things, you know, getting out of a couch started becoming easier. Getting out of bed was really easy. I wasn't as overwhelmed as I was. I wasn't losing my shit. Like I would lose my shit when I'd get my day. I'd look at my day and I'd start to kind of go like, motherfucker, how am I doing this? How am I? And like Pete is my assistant. He's more like one of my closest friends. Really, honestly, I talked to him about everything. And he started noticing a change in my behavior. And so but the girls and Leanne has always been my ride or die, like she's just there. But the girls saying that really, and then all of a sudden it turned into like 83 days. And then I was like, well, fuck, how am I going to start drinking again? Cause I want to drink.
You drink in moderation?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah. Easily.
Could you drink half a beer and leave it?
Yeah. Let's try it. Let's try it.
Have you ever
who the fuck drinks half a beer?
Me, I could easily drink half a beer because I smoke weed. That's
could you
why.
Smoke weed and not inhale?
Great question. No, I could.
Why would you do
it? Yeah, why would I do it?
Let's be very clear.
But I can smoke. Hold on, I can smoke half a joint, put it out, come back later, get that half a joint.
Fuck yeah,
that's the same thing as half a beer.
No, okay. So my moderation I learned with marijuana.
Okay.
So I learned during this, let's be very clear, I was not sober for 83 days.
I understand.
I was smoking weed, but I was noticing.
But you weren't drinking.
I wasn't drinking.
Right.
And so I was noticing.
Which also, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but that's also calories too.
Right? Everything for me was about calories. Health and calories,
right.
and liver
it's
enzymes.
A lot of sugar and a lot of that goes in that.
Everything
alcohol.
Was about that. And I didn't want sugar. And so I... But with weed, I found a real joy in marijuana in that it allowed me to be also a little bit more present, a little bit more empathetic. My empathy was through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
And insightful. And I will say the best part of marijuana.
Because it's medicine.
The best part of marijuana. And I got to give this to Dan Soder. Dan Soder. I did Red Rocks with Dan Soder and Big J. Didn't drink. And I was smoking weed and it was in the morning. I had a joint and I was down by the river and I was smoking a joint and I got a little anxiety. And Dan Soder said, I said, dude, do you ever get like anxious? And he goes, oh, buddy. Yeah. It scares you sometimes. You got to realize though, it's going to happen. We all get scared. Let it happen. It's just the drug. And I started to embrace the fear. I started to embrace the fact that this was a drug and it was just making me a little scared. And that fear is inside me. You know, Rogan said that his favorite part of edibles is getting scared because he goes, it makes him honest. And I started to embrace that honesty of what I was scared about. And I fucking would love it. I'd get in my bunk. And if I got a little too high and I couldn't find my ear on the right place on a pillow and I felt like my ear felt weird, I was like, that's just the drug. It's totally cool. Weed is so fucking beautiful. It is so beautiful. And so I just embraced marijuana. I really did. And it kind of taught me. And so what I do is during Thanksgiving, I would smoke a little weed. And then if everyone wanted a glass of wine, I'd have a glass of wine. But I would not. I wasn't chasing the wine. I'd have a little wine. And I was like, I don't want the fucking wine to fuck with my weed. Like, I don't want to lose the, because all of a sudden you turn into this like.
Well, there are people, I know people that smoke weed from the time they get up to the time they go to bed and they're fine. But the minute they mix any kind of alcohol, wine especially, it fucks them. Like it renders them useless. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Just that combo really gets people sometimes. Yeah. But you got to learn about that shit.
Yeah. And so, but I like, I've tried to explain this to Tom. The thing I do like about alcohol is the cutting loose, the getting after it. I love that. I love it. I love it when there's no rules. I love it. I have different parameters for that a little bit more because I understand how busy my days are. But I love last night. Last night we did two episodes and the first guy was like, I would like a cocktail. And I was like, I'll have a cocktail. I wasn't planning on drinking yesterday. I was like, I have a cocktail. He made a Negroni. I was like, God damn it, this is good. He made a martini with white wine. And I was like, fuck, I'll have one of those. It was so fucking good with olive juice and white wine. It was so fucking good. And then Bunny and Jelly showed up and Leanne's like, let's open a bottle of wine. I was like, fuck yeah, let's get on that horse and let it run and be and just whoof, whoof. And then, but it's like, just like the moderation when you're like, you want to hit the weed. I know my brain. I go, I got stuff to do. I can't do it right now. I've never been the wake up in the morning drink guy. I'm always the wake up in the morning workout, burn calories, feel healthy, get back after it. And then.
But what's crazy to me is you'll go late and you get up fucking early and you do it. You're very disciplined. Even when you go after this, like the amount of weight you've already lost, that before and after picture, you look fucking great. Like your discipline is, obviously you see it in your work ethic and your career and everything, but also when you go after things like this, it's really impressive.
Well, thank you.
But also having your kids gut check you. I have a buddy of mine that got really big and his son came to him and asked him, it was parent day, to come to school. Mm-hmm. And they asked him not to come because they were embarrassed at how fat he was and they didn't want to be made fun of, and they didn't want their dad to be made fun of.
I'll tell you, and
that put him on, like, that was the wake up call for him to be like, I got to drop some weight and stop just fucking
around. The opposite. We went to parents' weekend and I was doing great. I was fucking doing great. And Georgia asked me to drink. And all their friends were there. And Georgia's underage. I say this because Leanne will not let Georgia drink. I'm certain she was drinking. And she said to me, I would love to have like a White Claw with you and mom. And I said, well, I'm not drinking. She said, for real? And I said, yeah. And I said to her, listen, if you need me to drink, I can totally drink with the parents. If that's something you want me to do, I can be fun. If you want me to turn it on, I can do that. But I can also be present and not drinking.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And she was like, well, I don't think she had seen that sign. She's like, oh, no, don't drink. I'm really proud of you, Dad. And I was like, thanks. I smoked some weed and I had a cigar and we all laughed. We had a great time, went to the game, had a fucking blast. But yeah, those girls, have given me more in, I mean, I'm a wealthy man because of those two children. I made so much money off of sharing every aspect of their lives. It is almost illegal and irresponsible. But you know, I didn't know another way to do it. I was honest, and we were doing stand-up when we were young, and I was telling stories about my girls, and they were working. And I had a story about Isla putting her finger in the ass, putting the dog's mouth, and Ian Bagg put me aside, and he's like, that's where you need to be going. That is fucking, no one's talking about that. That's funny. And so, and then Isla got her period. She threw a period party, and I thought it was fucking brilliant. I thought it was brilliant. And that child's brain is so.
First time I ever even heard about period parties. Yes, yeah, from you.
That child's brain is so different. And George is my Jiminy Cricket. She's the one that can highlight what is brilliant about things. I mean, she really can. She, my closing bit from the last special Razzle Dazzle was the escape room. And that's Georgia telling me, are you talking about that on stage? And I go, what do you mean? She's like, it's a funny story. You should talk about that. I was like, what's funny about it? She's like, are you being serious? Papa threw Nana into a trunk. And remember, he was panicking and he was losing his shit. That's the only reason we bought him, and you almost shit in his mouth. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, that is good. She's like, you should talk about that. Remember, Mom solved it all. And I was like, oh, fuck. She told it on stage. She called from college. And I said, what's up? She's like, nothing. What are you doing? I said, I'm on stage. She said, are you talking about? That's when we talk about empty nesting. That's my biggest fear.
You said silence is deafening, and it sure as fuck is, dude.
So every year we would go to Alabama, Leanne's lake house for a week. And then we go to Tampa and spend a week with my parents. We get down to the beach. And that fucking house was filled with so much life, that beach house. And one time, Leanne and the girls left on Sunday, and I was in Cleveland that weekend, and I stayed Monday, Tuesday, and then flew Wednesday to Cleveland. That Monday and Tuesday, I've never been more sad in my entire life, sitting with my parents. They're both on their iPads. No one's talking. I'm looking at them, not talking. And I'm like, the fuck? Like, what? Is this what life is? And then my dad's like, huh? Like, he didn't even hear the silence. Yeah. For him, it's just normal. And I'm like, there's no life in this house. Yeah. This is death. And Leanne embraces our empty nest with an exuberance of, this is going to be great. How much fun is this going to be? And I would say, put a fucking gun in my mouth. I do not want this. I did not want it. And when Georgia left, bro, I have a picture that I posted. Because Isla was like, you have to post it. I was crying so aggressively in the car that I was making them cry. And then Isla took a picture of me crying and was like, you need to post that. Post it. Georgia will see it. It'll mean something to her. And I posted it, and it got a ton of likes or whatever. But a bunch of parents connected to that feeling of losing their child to college, and you want your child to go to college. But then it was me, Leanne, and Isla. And honestly, it was just Leanne and Isla. I was like, fuck it, I'll go on the road. And I think about when Isla leaves, how
many more years is that? Two more?
Oh no.
One more?
Oh, it's like 6 months.
Oh shit.
It's 6 fucking months.
Oh, it's right here.
Yeah. And that child, it's cool. Our relationship's cool now. She comes down, me, her, and Leanne hang out. And now Isla, I'm very present, but we're, she's just goofy and funny, and me and her go into the sauna every night, do like 30 minutes in the sauna, me and her polar plunge. She'll work out with me in the mornings. I drive her to school. We listen to history podcasts together. We listen to this great podcast about people almost dying. but when she leaves, I'm curious what life's going to look like, because Leanne's like, well, I can go on the road with you, which is awesome, but also changes the road a little bit. And Leanne's like, but we have dogs. We got dogs. What are we going to do with these dogs? And you know, we're talking about, honestly, about buying a house closer to the middle of the country to like make it easier to see Isla and possibly spend more time there. I don't know. It's a terrifying aspect, because your whole relationship's defined by talking about these children.
Mm-hmm.
And Leanne and I had kids early.
Forever, you know? By the way.
Yeah.
They're going to be parents. You're going to be grandparents. It never ends.
We'll be grandparents. Huh? I don't know if we'll be grandparents.
You'll be grandparents. What do you mean? You don't think your kids are going to have kids?
No. I can't imagine. I'd love to be a grandparent.
You're going to be a grandparent.
Yeah.
There's no way you won't be.
You never know.
Do you want to be a grandfather? I feel like you'd be a fucking kick-ass grandfather.
Yeah, I'd be.
You would be.
Yeah. I was a great young dad. I was a great young dad. I was so fucking fun. And I'm a great older dad. Like, I'm great. Like, the best is when Georgia comes home for the holidays and all her friends come to the house. They all spend the night. They all sleep in the screening room upstairs. Eight girls. And they come down. And they're like, hey, Dad, can you make us breakfast? Oh, fuck me. If there's a heaven, my heaven will be spent making breakfast.
You're going to miss that, huh? I see it. What else scares you about it?
About?
I mean, our whole lives are laughter. You know, I think about us as comedians. Like, we've probably laughed more than anybody on these planets.
There's not one human that spent more time laughing than me.
Yeah.
That's my only thing.
Is going to be empty. And you're not even going to hear their laughter.
No.
Do you worry about that? Do you think you'll find yourself on the road more because you don't want to be at the house where it's empty? What do you think you're going to be? How are you going to handle it?
I don't know. Leanne makes me laugh. Leanne's goofy. Our relationship's changed a lot. I think because George is not there, Leanne and I are doing this dating thing where we're like really dating each other. I'll give you a perfect example. Really cool. Yesterday, we're fucking like crazy, by the way. So yesterday morning, fucking crazy. So yesterday, I woke up. I had a busy day and Leanne had a busy day and I kind of grabbed her over to the bed and my dick was hard. And I was like, hey, and she's like, no. And then she jokingly said, you got to earn it. And I said, oh, I'll earn it. And so I said, sit next to me. And I kissed her passionately in the morning. I said, I want to let you know how I love you. She was like, nothing else. I said, I just want to kiss you. And I spent the day going around and chasing her, like kissing her and telling her how pretty she looked. And I love that sweater. Little things, just touching her when everyone's around, just giving her like a touch to let her know. And then I got her flowers in the middle of the day. I just bought her flowers and I just wanted to let her know. And I was like, that gameplay for me is so fucking important. To have like a little treat that I'm working towards is so fucking important. It's the way I define almost anything. But she has instilled that in me. And I think it's because she wants to get ready for this next phase. It started at Saddle Ranch. This is my favorite fucking Leanne story.
The one next to the store?
Yeah, we went to Saddle Ranch.
Uh-huh.
Just getting promo for the movie. Did a whole day of press junkets. Went in, did three spots at the stores. Busy fucking day. Got done. Cocktail with Leanne over at Saddle Ranch. I love Saddle Ranch. I fucking love Saddle Ranch. I'm out of control at this time. I'm big. I'm so big that when I flew to New York, clothes didn't fit me.
Nah.
Buddy, I had a stylist style me and I flew to New York and none of it fit.
From how long from the time you were styled till you flew it didn't fit?
A week.
You outgrew the fucking shit you were styled in 1 week.
I swear by this. I fucking put on this shirt and the buttons didn't reach. And I went and did press with an open shirt because it didn't fucking reach.
You're the only guy that could. You and wrestlers. That's it.
I would sit with my little small team that I had in my room. And I'd go, how's this not fitting me? How's this not fitting me? Pete's like, buddy, you know, you did drink on the plane all night. But like, I would not fit into clothes. A week later. The premiere for our, do you know what they had to do for the premiere for our movie? Mm. They had to take the shirt and move the buttons.
Nah,
I swear to God.
They couldn't go get you another shirt.
If you look at that shirt, you'll see there's a weird like line. Yeah. They had to do that to all my shirts, is move the buttons. It was so bad that like people are like, just take your shirt off. And like, just take your shirt off. You look fine, fat. Just take your fucking, you look weird in these clothes. I mean, nothing fit. Nothing fucking fit. Yeah.
Oh, shit, dude.
But so we go to Saddle Ranch. We have a couple cocktails. We go to the bathroom. And a guy and a girl walk into the bathroom. As Leanne's walking out of the girl's bathroom, a guy and a girl walk into the girl's bathroom to have sex. And Leanne goes, huh, they's going to have sex. And I said, yeah. And we're just walking out. Very casual. Very in love with my wife at the time. Nothing's wrong with our relationship. I'm very busy. I'm focused on me a lot. Nothing's wrong. And she goes, can you believe that? They's going to have sex in the Saddle Ranch bathroom. And I casually said, you know, we used to be like that. And she was like, huh? We never had sex at Saddle Ranch. I said, no, but they're young. That's what young people do. They're in love. They're fucking getting after it. We drive over the hill. We do not talk on the ride over the hill. We just, you know, whatever. Pull into our house. And Leanne pulls under the carport. And which we don't park there because the doors and whatever. And I go, what are you doing? She goes, we're still young. And she gets totally fucking naked. Gets on top of me in my car.
In the carport right there.
We fuck in the car. My dick's getting hard telling you the story. And I'm being serious. That's how attracted I am to my wife. My dick gets hard talking about it. And we have the best sex of our lives, honestly. And from that moment, we started having sex at like a wild clip and doing stuff that she would say stuff. I want you to do this to me. And I'd be like, hold on. Did you cheat on me? Like,
why? Yeah, some new dude showing you some shit.
I've never been allowed to play with your butthole. What the fuck? Like, what are you being, my dick's getting for real hard. I would, and we were doing wild shit, bro. We went out to the beach one night, just drove out to the beach, have like a bottle of wine out at the beach. And she's like, let's go to a sex store. I was like, huh? I was like, are you being serious? She goes, let's get some toys. We never used toys. I thought we're not allowed to use toys. I didn't think we were allowed to use toys.
Why?
We never did it.
But you never talked about it?
I talked about it. Oh. I remember getting the thing that you put on your dick and it would vibrate.
Yeah.
And then she was like, why are we doing that? Why? It was weird. It was, and so I just said, I'm cool. I know what you like. If it's not toys, that's fine. I don't need them. I just want to have sex with you. But that we did things a certain way. We went to that sex store. Dude, I bought everything. I bought rope. I mean, I was like a kid. I was like, we're going to get one of these. Put that in my ass. I want, like, everything. And she was just playful and wanted to try it. And it was so fucking fun. Everything about it has been continuously fun. We had sex in Vegas the other day. And she goes, hey, they have an intimacy kit? I said, I don't know. She goes, it's Vegas. I bet they do. Let's see what they got. And we pulled out their intimacy kit and we ran through all of it and we just had fun. It was fucking great. I mean, if you went on the cruise, you'll get this. It all started with a feather. We went to Santa Monica doing press or whatever, and this right when we're really discovering our relationship again. And we go to this hotel in Santa Monica. I'm going to work out with Arnold the next morning. And we go in, we have a beautiful dinner and we go to the room and they have an intimacy kit. And I open it and I see, and there's a feather in there. And I said, hey, what can we do with a feather? I've never used a fucking, I don't know what a feather does. And she made fun of me for wanting to use a feather. And she saw the look in my eyes of like, I was trying, now I'm embarrassed. And then she was like, well, let's just see what the feather does. And so we just played around with the feather, just teased her with the feather, and we started laughing about this feather. And that feather opened a door that now, and this is me oversharing, but now we text a feather back and forth, text a feather. It's like our flirt, and it's fun. And when we went on the cruise, we made intimacy kits for anyone that bought the intimacy package. It was a feather because it's our little fucking thing. And it brought so much joy to our relationship. And we'll text feather, just a feather emoji to each other. And it means something to us. And it's fucking, it's badass. But yeah, that woman. And then and even when I wasn't drinking, she'd be like, hey, let's get in the hot tub. She never got in the fucking water. And now we get in the hot tub almost every night. And she'll make a specialty cocktail for herself. I'll bring out a cigar and a joint. And, or maybe just a cigar, And that woman made me excited for the next phase of our lives. I think there's going to be a lot of loss in, you know, it's cool to see your kids blossom. It's cool to see Georgia make good decisions and have fun and celebrate her. One of my things, you know, every year for my birthday, I write down goals for whatever year I am. And one of the big things was speak to my daughters every day. I want to talk to them every single day. So I text Georgia every day. And I love that she's living a fulfilled life. I love it. It makes me happy when she texts pictures of her and her friends hiking or going into the river, going to the hot springs or whatever they do. I love that shit. I'm excited for Isla to do it. I'm nervous for her because I don't think she's world ready. I don't think she's ready to like jump into the world, you know, but I'm excited for her to do all those fun things for herself, you know?
Oh, I love that you guys aren't just like going into the fucking thing, dreading it. You guys seem to have like almost a whole little flirtatious relationship starting over again instead of just doom and gloom.
Yeah.
It's like your own little thing. It's cute and I like it.
Yeah. It's like crazy, but like.
Aren't you also glad you have somebody to go through this with? Like, what do you do if you don't have a wife?
She had like a lump on her back and she had to get it removed. And Isla and I were like spinning out of control. Isla said to me, if something happens to mom, we should sign a suicide pact. I was like, what? She's like, we're not going to long for this world. We should go out together. I was like, you bring up a valid point, kid. She's like, George will be fine, but me and you are fucked. And so, but yeah, to have a partner to go through it with is
such a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Cozy Earth crafts luxury goods that transform your lifestyle. They have everything from bath towels, body care, blankets, pajamas, and so much more. It's no surprise that Cozy Earth has been featured on Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row. Their bedding is temperature regulating because there's nothing worse than being too hot or cold while trying to sleep. And they're available in linen and viscose from bamboo. Cozy Earth loungewear offers optimal comfort while maintaining a flattering, elegant fit. There is something for any man or woman. Plus, it's offered in a variety of different styles and colors. If that wasn't enough, all products come with a 10-year warranty. Look, I'm a big fan of plush and soft sheets, comfortable sleeping. A friend of mine's grandma used to tell us your bed is where you go to rest your soul. And they just sent me some of these sheets. I put them on right away, and I love them. Cozy Earth provided an exclusive offer for my listeners today. Get up to 35% off site-wide when you use the code HONEYDEW at www.cozyearth.com. That's code HONEYDEW at cozyearth.com for up to 35% off. Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Well, here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up. It's about switching up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your habit. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/honeydew and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code HONEYDEW to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Now, let's get back to the do.
It's funny. I think the same way we talk about.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The same way I talk about getting perspective over partying and drinking and weed and health and eating, I think I have that really with Leanne. And I look at, I said this morning, because Leanne and I still fight. We still get in arguments. You know, we run a business together. Yeah, it's complicated. Our relationship is also enmeshed in this business, which gets complicated. But it's funny, even when we get into an argument, I can quantify that my feelings aren't real, that my feelings are based off of something that happened, and that thing is small compared to the body of work we have together.
That trigger.
And I can, and I can ignore that and look at the whole and go, what do I love? I love this woman. And what am I feeling? Is it big? It's not big. It's a fight over something stupid. And I can, and I've been able to do this, is like drive to go get Starbucks and find the joy in life, roll the windows down, a little breezy in LA, and the winter is fucking great. And I go, this is real. I love this. And that woman in that house will do anything for me. And this fight was stupid. It was silly. And I can look past that, because I know that if I can look past it, the rest of my day is awesome. I get to play with her tits, like little things. I love her tits. I love her fucking tits. I love
your love for her, dude. For
her
real.
Tits are fucking awesome.
How long have you been together?
22 years.
That's incredible. And you still love each other like that. You're still after each other. You're still fucking, you know, not just setting appointments so you can get the sex in. You're fucking. There's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. And I think we're better at it now than we've ever been. I know that
you're also opening more doors and exploring things. Like, that's one thing too. You when you think like, oh, I just didn't think we used toys, you don't realize that maybe down the road, like, it's a phase that you get into later, just something you weren't ready for or whatever. Yeah, the door's never closed.
Yeah, it's been fun. I think I don't think I was going to be emotionally prepared to get into this next part of my life. I think she kind of sherped me into this, and I think that all her doing this and it's having fun. It's like, you know, we went to the Cayman Islands together, and I hadn't been on a vacation with her me and her in forever. I always want the girls. I actually even said, can we bring the girls to the Cayman Islands? Cause I love that energy. I love the girl. What are we doing today? Let's go snorkeling. Let's go. And even like I take trips with the girls alone. Like I took Georgia to Hawaii before she went to school, and being with George, just me and her, we went snorkeling in this big cave with a bunch of other people. There were some like people we met on the island that took us out on a boat for the day, and just getting out and being with George is so fucking fun. Cause I have zero anxiety, zero fear. I'm a caretaker for this human. So all the deep water shit that I would be nervous about, I'm not. Because I got George with me, I'm protecting her, and we're diving down to the bottom of the ocean and we're having a fucking blast. And I said to Leanne, we should bring the girls. She's like, no, we should do it by ourselves. And our first day we went out, Leanne got a boat for us to take us out for the day. And we got on the boat and the guy's like, I have beers in the boat. And Leanne's like, how many? He's like, I got a six pack. She's like, we should stop and get another six pack. Do you have Tito's? And so, but we had so much fun, and I kept looking at her going like, how fucking cool is it that I want to be here? Because there's been chicks I dated where I looked at other people on other loungers going like, I wouldn't mind being him. She looks hot. I bet she's fun. And then I look at other couples now and I go, oh, they don't realize what I got. It's so fucking cool. I never thought that I'd find that. I really honestly, I was so, I get so tired of relationships so quickly, and I'm a lot to be around is an understatement. But like we went out and we took the boat around for the day. We got conchs because that day was conch season. And we went out to this sandbar and we sat in chest high water and crystal blue water with stingrays swimming around us, and we were kissing stingrays and we were having drinks and And then we went home and we did a wine pairing at the hotel and she got blackout drunk and was fucking wild. And we had great sex and we laughed and we spent too much money and we didn't worry. And it was, and like we went shopping one day and it was like just, and we like shopping and then went to this bar next door and had like a cocktail and it was just all the shit. And then it's like little things. And this is what I love about her is like little things like, my drink's getting cold, getting warm too fast. We need to get, you know what we should get? We should get some Tervis tumblers, like old school redneck. Tervis tumblers, keep our drinks cooler. And man, I wasn't going to drink in the Cayman Islands. I was like, I'm going to stop drinking again. And that first day, she got a tequila, a skinny margarita with frozen ice, like ice in it. And then she's like, this is good. You need to get one of these. And I was, it's like 10 in the morning. And I was like, fuck it. Let's get after it. And we did. And we'd go out into the ocean and we'd sit in chest high water and just talk about everything. And then her little brain is so fucking cute. She go, those lounges that are floating in the water, we need to get on one of them. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on them because we need to get, because everyone wanted to get on them.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, hey, one's open. Come on, let's go. And then you go out and then there are these boys that recognized me. They were like from a fraternity at University of Arkansas. And they came out and they're like, duh, the machine. We got to do a shot with the machine. And Leanne's like, hey, he's on vacation. Take a picture, but it's over. Okay. He's mine. And these guys.
That's
guys,
good.
And then I was like, I wanted to say to these guys, hey, fuck the rest of your college. All the things you're, find one of these. Because this thing will get you all the shit you want. You need this partner. Because all your insecurities, all the things you're fucking worried about right now, this thing can fill that hole. It literally, everyone should be lucky enough to get a Leanne. I'm a dime a dozen, but someone like her, it makes life fun. We're going to Vegas tonight. We're going to Vegas tonight to go to the Sphere to go see you too.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing the girls, obviously. Isla said, I said, we're going to the Sphere, we're gonna go see you too. And George was like, for real? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, how'd you get those tickets? And I was like, I'm playing in Vegas for the Super Bowl. I'm doing the arena with Tommy. You get a lot of things, and this is something that they offered. And I said, I'd love to do it. I want to bring you guys. And then Isla goes, I don't want to see it. I was like, what? She goes, the Movement? I go, what? She goes, we're going to you two, the Movement. What is that? I went, no, it's a band. And then Georgia goes, oh my God, she thinks it's me too. She thinks we're seeing a fully interactive sexual assault, like just Harvey Weinstein in surround, just jerking off in front of us. all the different Me Toos are going to happen on the. And I was like, wow, Isla, I think you're going to like this. It's getting a little different.
Me Too.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel? Your life will be different if you have boys because you're a girl, dad.
I don't want them. Yeah. I did not want girls. I did not.
See, I didn't want boys. I grew up, I have two brothers. Almost every cousin is a boy. And I just knew, I was always so angry about everything. I knew having a girl would just give me a whole different perspective on the world. So I was really hoping for a girl and I got that girl energy and I love it because she says shit to me and I'm like, God. Just blows me away at that age. And like, just she'll see something and go, oh, that looks like this. And I'm like, damn, it does look like that.
Oh, the day I found out we were having a girl, I said some straight up misogynistic shit to my wife and the nurse performing this sonogram.
What'd you say?
He goes, do you guys want to know what you're having? And I was like, yeah. And I'm thinking, boy. She goes, well, it's either a hot dog or a hamburger.
Yeah.
And I said, what do we got? She goes, hamburger. And I go, is that a boy? She goes, no, it's a girl. And I went, fuck. And she went, excuse me? And I went, ugh. We're having a girl? And Leanne's like, hold on. And there's women in the room.
Yeah, all women.
And I was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever. Whatever. It's fine. It's fine. We can have another child. And Leanne's like, what the fuck? I'm 32 and I just was I wanted a boy. I wanted someone I could play baseball with. I wanted someone I could throw a football to. I wanted my buddy. I wanted a partner. I wanted a little Bert. I wanted that.
Little Bert.
Oh, I had a name picked out.
Could you imagine having a little Bert right
Albert
now?
Albert Charles Kreischer the Fourth, aka Quate. I was about to call him.
Quat.
Quat, yo quat. For four, yo quate. That was his name. I knew this motherfucker. He was going to be like me. His hair was going to grow out. He was going to be a little bit of a hippie. He was going to have a fucking great swing. He was going to have the most beautiful fucking golf swing, the most beautiful baseball swing. He was going to throw darts on a foot. I was going to fucking Earl Woods this motherfucker.
Earl Woods, your little tiger.
And little then I bird. Got a girl, and the day, and it's honestly, I'm not, I mean, I'm trying to be as honest as possible. I don't think I realized how great it was. I would say I'm.
Yeah, when did it hit you?
Like 13 months in.
That's when you're like, I'm glad I have a girl.
13 months. And then when we had Isla, I went.
How are you about that?
I was like, cool. I didn't want a boy.
You weren't upset, like fucking.
No, I was like, cool. Two girls. I like that a lot.
And what's the age gap? 2 years?
2 years.
Yeah.
And we got Isla. And then they
what
were
hit
like,
you at 13 months, though, where you're like, I am glad I have a girl. What,
Georgia,
what was it?
Georgia broke her arm. And she was practicing standing or walking. I could be awful, fucking whatever. But she broke her arm. And all of a sudden, I don't know. I just went, I realized how important this kid was to me. But all the little cute stuff, like her putting on princess dresses, I just loved it. I loved it. I loved all the fun stuff about having a girl. And then I think it opened up a side of me that I didn't realize was there. And I think if I had had a boy, I might have been a little bit of a bro, and I might have isolated me and him from the rest of the family. I might have been like, yo, this is my dude. Georgia got me into the family. It was like, and then Isla showed up. I was like, these are mine. These are my little, and music started making sense. Like Jeff Tweedy, all of Wilco made sense to me. And he had boys, but all of it made sense. I'm the man who loves you. Woo, I'll cry. But like, I don't know. Even, you know, when we took Georgia, no good story of mine is not broken. But like, so Leanne has Georgia, and I cut the umbilical cord. I'm crying so hard that the energy turns to Bert. Everyone, the fucking anesthesiologist grabbed my camera and started taking pictures. Right? Everyone's like, Daddy, you need to take her in and get her washed. And Leanne just had fucking an episiotomy, and they're stitching her up, and everyone's stitching, looking at me like, he's really. And we left, we walked Georgia in, and we get her bathed, and they do all the little test things they need to put iodine or whatever the fuck they do to her. And I melted down that moment. That moment, I went, oh my God, I've never loved something like this. It was so fucking pure. And I said to her, they all left the room, and it was me and her, and she's just crying. And I got in real close, and I was like, hey, don't cry. I was just like, I was whispering to her about what her life's going to be like and how I'm going to do everything for her. Oh, it was so cool. No one was in the room. I was like sobbing, crying. I was like, I'm going to walk you down the aisle, and no one's going to hurt you. You're going to have the best fucking life, and don't cry now. Get it out, but don't cry, because it's going to be fucking so good. We're going to have so much fun in that moment. And then I walked her in, my whole family's in there, and I'm sobbing, crying, and we roll her into the little thing, and then someone's like, where's Leanne? There had been a shift change, and they left her in the fucking room. I swear to God. They turned the fucking lights off. They turned the lights off. They thought the room was clean, and she was like, help. They had left her in like a pool of her own piss and shit. And I was like, man, where is Leanne? She was shaking. She was cold.
Oh, man.
And then, but that fucking moment I had with George, I don't remember having it with Isla the way I did with George, but I remember having that moment with her. And I was like, I got you. I'm your fucking guy. And that little kid changed me so fucking immeasurably. She got me. Like, she got the things I got. We're identical human beings. Everyone thinks that me and Isla are the same. No, Isla is Leanne if Leanne hadn't had a troubled childhood. That's who you're getting to see is what Leanne could have been. That sounds bad.
I know what you mean. Yes, yes.
George should've. Is me.
Yes.
All my little quirks. Like, I remember one time taking them through Ralph's, and they were like, they delivered hot bread. And Georgia goes, hot bread? Like, it was a little, and Isla's maybe two, Georgia's maybe four. And I said, yeah, hot bread. She goes, it's hot? And I was, yeah, let's grab a loaf. And I grabbed a loaf. She goes, oh. And I said, it's the center's the best. And so I ripped it open, and she was like, can we get butter? And I said, yeah, I grabbed a fucking stick of butter and shoved it in there. And she's just eating the center of the bread. And I'm like, fuck, let's get four more loaves. Let's fuck up bread. That kid gets me. And always has. And always has explained Isla and Leanne to me. And has made, that child has made my life so much fuller because I don't think I would have seen it. Now, listen, Isla's a fucking hoot. But even like when Isla, like things that would make me mad about Isla, Georgia would find the fucking comedy in. And Isla used to have this song that she never wanted to walk anywhere. She wanted to be carried. And it was like fucking, she's like seven. Mm-hmm. She's six. And she would go, carry me. And I go, Isla, stop. And she go, carry me, carry me, carry me. And it would make me mad because I'm like, Isla, I got too much shit. And Georgia would go, louder, Isla. And I'd go, Georgia, please. And Georgia would start laughing. Yeah. And the hardest I ever laughed is Isla would do it like walking back out of school. She'd go, oh, carry me. And I go, Isla, you got your backpack. Your feet smell like shit. I'm not carrying you. Carry me. And one day I'm like, Isla, enough. I'm not doing it. And so Isla walks into the middle of an intersection and starts taking off her clothes.
What?
And yeah. Drops her bag, carry me, takes her shoes off, carry me. And Georgia is crying, laughing. She goes, Dad, you have to look at this idiot. She is half naked singing, carry me. And so I fucking, God, fine, I'll carry you. So I carry this half naked child. And Georgia is crying, laughing, going, she owns you. Like you can't, and I mean, the funniest, I mean, there's so many things I celebrate Isla so much, but there's so many things I remember when we taught Isla how to fucking ride a bike. The first day we taught her how to ride a bike, and that's where I excelled, teaching them how to swim, teaching them playing baseball, softball, golf, and riding bikes. I taught them both how to ride bikes. Georgia was terrified. She's got so many.
How old were you when?
How old were they? Probably six when they learned how to ride a bike, I'm guessing.
My daughter just learned how to ride one.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah.
And I go, Stella, I bought her a brand new bike for her birthday. Got her a nice Cannondale. I'm like, this is a kick-ass bike.
Fuck yeah.
I didn't have anything like that.
Buying bikes for your kids?
Yeah.
Especially, you know.
I took her to see it, size it up. And she's like, can you put training wheels? I go, no. You can't put training wheels on a mountain bike. You're 9 fucking years old. And you can put your feet down.
Yeah.
You just put your feet down. So I took her out. I go, we're going to treat this just like we do with soccer. We're going to go out for an hour and we're going to ride every night. We go out for an hour. She's like, I don't ever want to do it again. I go, well, we're doing it again, but we'll dial it back to 30 minutes next time. So we go out and about 5 or 6 times I'm letting go of the seat and she's getting 4 or 5 cranks. And so she's feeling that freedom.
Yeah.
Third time we go out, I go, all right, here we go. I'm holding the back of the seat and then I just let go and she doesn't know. And I'm just talking. Right back here, and she's focusing. I'm walking. I'm just getting farther away. I go, hey. And she looks at me. And she's like, oh, like that. And I go, yeah, you got it. And boom, done. Now she rides all over the fucking place. I set up. I got like those soccer cones. I make obstacle courses and make her ride through them. Take her to the park. I'm like, go ride on grass. I want you to know what it's like to ride a bike and what feels like to pedal on grass.
I took the girl's pedals off. And for Georgia, I took her pedals off.
Just so they could push and glide.
So her feet could touch the ground. And I said, we went to a very slow decline, very mild decline. And I would walk with her and walk with her and then let her go. And then Georgia figured it out pretty quick. And then we put the pedals on and then her pedaling. And she got it and she loved it. And we rode bikes all the time. And then when we taught Isla how to ride a bike, Georgia was like, my partner. She's like, okay, Isla, you got this. I was like, don't take the pedals off. And I was like, well, I know we're going to take the pedals off. She goes, no, Dad, I think I got it. And I was like, Isla, she goes, Dad, trust me. And she had ridden with training wheels. So I take the training wheels off. I leave the pedals on. And the first fucking, I start to push her and immediately she fucking gets it. And within 10 seconds, hits a BMW. I'm talking parked BMW over her handlebars, body mark from the dust, hits the BMW. I go, wow. And she goes, no, I'm good. I can do it again. So
the holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I put her on again, and she goes, and she hits a stop sign. Like fucking into the curb. Ting! Into the curb. I'm okay. She then hits a fucking fire hydrant. Within her three times riding a bike, she's hit everything. And Georgia looks at me and she goes, I think she might need glasses. I said, what? She goes, Dad, it's like she's trying to hit these things. And I go, yeah. So then she gets to riding a bike and all she cares about is the stunt of a bike, of the fucking fear of the bike. She is, Dad, no hands. And I'm like, stop, you can't do that. No feet. And just throws her feet. And I have video of her. She'd kick her feet out and kick her feet and hands and let go. And Georgia, one time, we go for a bike ride. Isla's been riding a bike maybe a week. And Georgia goes, I'm getting a GoPro. I said, what? She goes, we have to film this, Dad. She is going to wreck. Because Isla would do this thing where she'd, you know, when you turn a wheel too far and you all of a sudden, Isla loved that feeling. So she'd crank it far. And Isla, me and Leanne, Isla flies, cranks her wheels, goes over her handlebars, hits the ground, takes Leanne down. Leanne goes down on her bike and Georgia stops. And I remember she looks at me and she goes, I got it all on the GoPro. God damn it. Those kids have given me so much life, like just the funnest that, you know, to now, and then, you know, now they work with us on Fully Loaded, but when the idea that those days are gone is what I think the idea that those days no longer exist, they've changed, but just the fun of a family bike ride or fancy dinners. We used to do fancy dinners. We go to Cabrera on La Brea. We go to Cabrera and the girls would dress up in princess outfits with long gloves on and their little plastic high heel shoes. And they'd have fancy dinner and they'd have like water in like a wine glass.
Yeah.
And Leanne and I would get dressed up and fancy dinners were like our fucking thing. Our fucking thing. I bullied them. I wanted to go skiing this year. I love snowboarding. And so, I love taking the girls and going, and then both the girls were like, I don't want to go. I was like, what? And they're like, ah, George's like, I don't like skiing. I go because you like it, but I don't want to go. I want to see my friends. And I was like, fuck that. I was like, you're going. I was like, do you need to bring friends? She's like, can I? And I was like, whatever gets you there. So George is bringing friends. Isla's bringing friends. And I was like, and then they were like, hey, we want to learn how to snowboard. And I was like, cool. We'll extend it today. We'll teach you how to snowboard. But like those family vacations for me are so fucking rich. Like I took them to Italy. When Georgia graduated high school, the girls get to pick a trip. And Georgia goes, I want to go to Italy. So we did like 10 days in Italy. And being with them is so fucking fun. I remember the first night, Leanne's like, Georgia's like, hey, can we drink here? And Georgia's like 18 at the time. Isla's 16. And Leanne goes, I don't know. I don't know what the drinking age is here. And the waiter says, you know, it's fine if they want to have, you know, a glass of wine with you guys. That's customary. It's allowed. And so I said, well, I guess you guys can drink. And the waiter comes to the table. Georgia goes, he's like, can I get you guys something to drink? And Georgia goes, double Tito's and soda, big glass, no lime. And I go, what the fuck? She was like, what? I just wanted to see. She's like, are there other drinks? And I was like, she goes, that's all I've heard you drink. I was like, you're not drinking a double Tito's. I'm drinking double Tito's and soda. You're drinking fucking wine. And both of them did not enjoy wine. They don't like the taste of wine. They didn't like Prosecco. We have Prosecco. Mm-hmm. They didn't like any of it. They didn't really drink. I don't think either of them are drinkers. But the fucking just, and Leanne's like such a list maker. So we'd get up and we'd have a whole fucking list of shit to do. And you could just see Georgia go, we're going to be walking all fucking day. And I go, wait, it's your mom. She's like, ugh. And then they would mock me. I wish I could do a bit about this. I've fucked with this forever. I wish I could do a bit about this. They realize how stupid I am. So we had a tour guide with us who knew a historian tour guide. This is before I really, really got into history the way I am right now. The first thing I said, we were at one of Michelangelo's things. And I said, where did the Angelos grow up? Like, where did they live? She goes, who? I said, Michelangelo, like his family. She goes, his name's not Michelangelo. And Georgia goes, hold on. You thought his name was Michelangelo? I said, it's not. She goes, no, it's Michelangelo, dot, 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 dot. It's like his Michelangelo is what yeah. they called him. And I go, oh, I thought his name was Michelangelo. And Georgia goes, oh, my God. So then we go to Julius Caesar's grave. And I say to Georgia, hold on. He was a real person? And she looks and she goes, oh, Dad, I bet a lot of people are wondering that. You should ask the group. So I was like, I go, hey, Julius Caesar, he was a real person? And everyone looked and they're like, so we we get in the car and Isla goes, okay, I got to know what you think history looks like. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, tell me where does Julius Caesar fall in the list of history? And I go, well, it's got to be after Jesus. And they go, why? I go, well, there's nothing before Jesus, right? And they're like, tell us all the stuff you think that happened before Jesus. I go, dinosaurs? And they're like, and? I go, just dinosaurs and Jesus. And they're like, hold on. You think it goes giant dinosaurs and then Georgia's like all excited. She goes, did Jesus know the dinosaurs? And I was like, yeah, right? I go, isn't there like a part in the Bible where he goes, stop. And then like, and Georgia goes, that's Chris Pratt, Dad. You're thinking of Jurassic Park. And I was like, hold on. Wait, what was before Jesus? And they're like, Julius Caesar was 33 years before. And I'm like, hold on. Julius Caesar is a real person. And like they on that trip, everything they do, they go, Dad, you know, this was before Jesus. And it was so fun to have them bully me and make fun of me the whole fucking trip. There's a picture they text to each other where we were going out on a gondola. Oh, I'm going to get fucking chills. And we had Leanne got great hotel rooms for us. And I put on an outfit. You can find it online. I put on an outfit and I look cute as fuck. Right. And I had a fanny pack that matched my outfit and I looked good. I looked really cute. And they saw me feeling cute. And Georgia goes, what's going on with you? And I said, I look cute as fuck. And she goes, oh, can I get a picture of you cute as fuck? And I go, fuck yeah. And so I posed. And then her and Isla send it to each other back and forth. Hey, remember when Dad thought he was cute as fuck? And but they bullied me. And they're like, look at him walking, Mom. He looks so cute. And I go, I do. That, for me, is like my favorite thing in the world is those two girls bullying me. My sisters bully me. But that energy of that was so fucking fun. And we have a chat thread called Baby Walrus. And they will post pictures when I think I look cute. And they're just horrible fucking pictures. They're the worst pictures of me you'll ever see. But that bullying is hilarious. When I got my surgery on my elbow, I came out of the hospital and I was in a wheelchair and I had a big cast on and I had a mask and I lowered the mask and I was not feeling great. And Isla and Georgia picked me up and they're like, you know, you look cute as fuck, right? And Georgia is getting that blown up for a wall painting for Isla's room of me in a fucking wheelchair. I swear to God. That's her Christmas present. Yeah, those fucking kids, man. I feel like I'm doing a podcast just celebrating my family, but like I love having a family. I love those motherfuckers so much. And you know, even like they showed up yesterday. They showed up yesterday and we were doing something. Brennan, they both just showed up because Isla's like fucking loves Jelly Roll. And they both showed up and they're just hanging out in the office with us and they're just busting balls. And Isla says fucked up shit. Like we're all talking. And she goes, well, it's a typical mistake everyone makes. Napoleon made it when he invaded Russia. And I was like, huh? She was like, you never fight a land war in Russia, Dad, not in the winter. And I was like, hold on. And Georgia goes, hang on. Isla, did you learn about Napoleon today? She goes, I did. And she goes, it's very clear. You're bringing it up all the time.
Yeah.
But like, I fucking love those motherfuckers.
Well, dude, I love you and I appreciate you coming on here because I'm halfway there. Like I was telling you, I got a 9-year-old and it's gone by in a blink and I only get her half the time. So I've got 4.5 years left.
Let me tell you, to anyone,
I'm already dreading it.
To anyone in your position, to anyone that just had kids, do what I didn't do. I was so in a panic that I wouldn't have money for them that I worked all the time. I worked more than I should have. I didn't get to experience as much with them as I did. I did great things. I was a present dad when I was home, but they would it's so fucking, this time is so rich with all the memories you will have as an empty nester. These are the things. I watched Taylor Lewan do something I used to do every fucking day. And it made me cry in bed. He said to his daughter, he dropped her off and he goes, I love you. And she goes, I love you. And he goes, I love you. And she's like, I love you. And he's like, I love you. I used to do that to Georgia and Isla at school where I would yell it from the fucking fence, the whole school, loud as fuck. I love you, Georgia. I love you. I did it the other day, dropping her off at the airport. She was going back to school after Thanksgiving. I haven't done it in forever. She asked me to stop doing it at one point. She's like, hey.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, I know you love me.
I'm not allowed to hold hands now as we get right up front in school.
Oh, anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's normal. That's natural. But you got to every now and then, you know, fucking Leanne one time. It was a beautiful day. We were in Hawaii. And Georgia and I, our thing was wake up early and go for a walk. Everywhere we went, me and Georgia would get up early, go get coffee and go for a walk. We did it. I have so many great memories. In Scotland, we did it. In London, we did it. In Italy, we did it. In Hawaii, we would do it every fucking morning. I would get up early with her and go for a walk. Just me and her, and we'd talk and just talk for like 3 miles and come home. I remember Leanne one time, Georgia was getting older, and Leanne goes, hey, hold her hand. And I went, really? She goes, she goes, she won't let you hold her hand one day, but she will today. And don't forget that. Hold her hand the whole time. And we went for a walk and I held her hand and she held my hand back. I have a scar right here that the girls like to rub. And it fucking creeps me out. And I always move my thumb so you can't touch it.
Yeah.
And Georgia rubbed my scar and I went, oh, I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to let it happen. Because I'm not going to get her to, she won't do that forever. And she was rubbing my thing. She's like, why aren't you moving your thing? And I said, because one day you're not going to let me hold my hand and hold hands with me. And I don't want to forget this. And she's like, you can always hold hands with me, Dad. That's not real. They stop. Mm-hmm. But we drop her off the airport the other day. And she's just all carry on. And she starts walking. I go, George, I love you. She goes, I love you. And I went, I love you. This is at Burbank Airport. I love you. She goes, Dad, I love you too. I go, Georgia, I love you. And the sky cap goes, he loves you. And everyone in the airport starts going, yeah. Georgia, he loves you. And she's like this, walking to the fucking gate. And I'm like, I love you. It's the fuck. So if you have kids, man, fucking pour yourself into this moment.
Yes.
Pour yourself into this moment. Allow yourself to be the broke dad. Allow yourself to fucking feel everything you're going to feel. Allow yourself to spend a little extra money on the kids when you don't have it. I spent $150 on Wonder Woman boots once that I'll never forget because the costume didn't come with good boots. And I wanted her to have the boots. She saw the undid the costume. She goes, the boots didn't come with it. And I was like, huh? And I fucking did not have money at this time. And I was like, fucking this bitch gets boots. It was a big miscalculation because they were slippery as fuck. She fell nine times at Halloween. It was a fucking nightmare. But she had fucking badass Wonder Woman boots. But yeah, man, if you are a fucking dad, drink all of it in. Drink all of it in. Slow down. Do what I didn't do. I overworked myself. I fucking slow it down and enjoy it because one day they leave. And those, that 18 years you get, you don't get to do it again.
You don't.
I would love to.
You don't. Dude, thank you. Plug, promote, everything, anything whatever. You want.
You guys know me.
Yeah, you know.
If you don't know me, I'm a stand-up comedian. I got involved with the Russian Mafia one time. I take my shirt off, too. Ryan, I love you, man.
I love you, dude. This is great. Thank you. I needed this. I've been looking forward to talking to you about this.
Oh, you made me fucking so filled with love today. I really honestly came here in a fucked up mood, and I am so fucking glazed in love. And I'm stone sober, and it feels fucking amazing. Thank you, buddy.
I love you.
I love you.
As always, RyanSickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.